It was a very simple movie.
Yeah, yeah, no, it was.
I didn't spill beer on myself. I'm good. Good. I forgot that the beer I'm drinking right now, I just opened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like a 16-ounce can. And I thought it was the old one, because like I take forever to drink these, and like yeah. I poured it on myself like I was trying to get like the last drops of something. It's a full can. Fuck, we've been recording for a very long time.
6 minutes. So I don't feel like it's easy. Yeah,
all right, I'll shut up. Go ahead. Love might kill you. Love might get you stuck. Love will bury you. 6 feet under bring you back insane and mad. Darling, don't worry. The skeleton bones will hold your cold in hand.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Skeleton Boys. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week we will review The Loved Ones. John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll go into our first thoughts and then we'll go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, I think we should tackle our origin story, our how we met cute story for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, let's do it.
Dude.
It was the summer of 1978. It was a hot one. Boy, was it hot. Because Rolando was walking around in short shorts and no shirt. The amount of hair on this man's chest is unbelievably beautiful and groomed. It's groomed. Come on. Also, I was born in the 80s, but that's how we met.
That's how we met.
No, go ahead.
We met in college, and then we both were theater majors, so we were definitely taking our career seriously, and in South Texas. And I had just joined the theater department, and I was working on my first play, and I was kind of like a backstage crew person. I was like stage, what do they call them?
Like a crew hand. I don't know. Yeah.
Crew hand. Yeah. I was like a crew hand, but for whatever reason in this play, I was incorporated into the cast because yeah. There was like a revolving stage. So like at maybe 3-4 times during the show, like a group of us would revolve the stage, and I even got like a bit part where I was playing, I don't know, what was I doing? Like a waiter or something? Like a busboy?
Yeah, I think a waiter for the like our first date scene, right? Or
yeah.
Not like we're supposed to meet for a date, but we don't meet for the date.
Right? Yeah, at the restaurant or something. There's like a restaurant there. And
God, there's a lot of fun information about this. Like for when it was like my very first like feature length musical.
Yeah.
And I got the lead somehow. I remember finding that out. Like, we went to Olive Garden for like my birthday and like a couple of friends' mutual birthdays, and then I got a call saying like, "Hey, you got the lead role." I was like, "I wasn't even fucking going for that." Cool, I guess. Yeah. I'll try to figure it out. And then I see who my love interest is, and there's nothing wrong with this. She was such a wonderful lady, but she was like 25 years my senior or something like that. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. It was just like, I mean, I guess there's nothing wrong with that at all. I feel like it translated weird that she's obviously older than I am. And, like right now at 34, like, I feel like I don't even look, I'm maybe finally starting to look my age, because I always look super fucking young. Like at 23 or whatever, I look like I was like 17.
Yeah, John was a big shot theater actor.
Yeah, with big shot fake mustaches and.
So though John were both like in the show, like I didn't really have much interaction to him. I think maybe it was either during a tech or during the actual run where there was a wardrobe change for you. Yes. And there's the wardrobe costumer wasn't there, and you had to do like a quick change because you were in the very next scene. It was like a quick turnaround thing, and I was standing by one of the whatever black standing backstage or whatever, just hanging out, waiting for just to revolve the stage.
The right wing, right? So stage left, the right wing?
Yeah. Yeah. Of the air. So you quickly came off and like you were just undressing, but nobody was helping you. And I was like, oh shit, nobody's helping this guy. Should I help? Or what? I didn't know anything. I didn't know any sort of protocol or whatever. So I was like, oh, let me walk over there. And I went over there and I was going to help you. And then you just chuck your jacket and you throw it on me. And then you go back on the scene. I was thinking to myself, what a dick.
I'm an artist, damn it.
He just flung his jacket on me. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, this guy, I thought to myself, like, oh, this guy's, like, kind of, like, he's into it. He's into his stuff. He's into his, like, acting and everything. I'm just going to leave him alone going forward.
And it's, like, to really paint a picture, like, in the grand scheme of things, like, these are not our actual heights, but I might as well be, like, 4'2" and Rolando is like 8'9". Yeah. So there's this whole dynamic. Also because like Rolando did not talk to anyone. He was just a shy guy, which also translated into this guy looks like Kane the Wrestler. Hopefully he doesn't fucking eat me because he's pissed.
Fucking Tombstone.
Yeah, he's gonna fucking rip my head off. I hate this.
Yeah.
Those are good times, man. Like back in the day. Oh, what year yeah. This had to have been
2009,
right? 8, 9, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we just started hanging out. Now we're after that, right?
Oh, I mean, man, yeah. Eventually we started doing a date night, which I mean, we kept pretending it was for like the boys, but it wasn't like just for us. It was just a reason for like a core group of us to hang out, and then everybody else could show up if they wanted. We didn't give a shit.
Yeah, people were like jealous, and it's just like we had so many people just show up because everybody had heard of this thing that a group of us would do every Thursday.
It was that whole aspect of it was so funny because they're like, "Oh, we're crashing your date night." I was like, "No, you're not. Who gives a shit? I don't care."
Yeah, no carry there.
I mean, even I think the person who actually dubbed it date night was Jasenia, our friend Edwin's wife. Yeah, Jasenia.
Yeah.
Jasenia's our friend too. I fucking love Jasenia. She's such a badass. Because Edwin was like, "Hey, do you mind if I hang out with like John, Rolando, blah blah blah." And she said, like, "Oh, you need to go on your date night? Yeah, whatever. Right, Thursday, right? Yeah, go ahead." I was like, dude, that's such a great name for it.
Yeah.
And who was a part of this? Yeah. Fucking, yeah, Edwin Mendoza, Paul Davila, Christopher Salyers.
Yeah.
And then, Patty Moreno.
Then we just, I think after that, we'd have like a rotating.
Yeah, just.
Group like of people.
Whoever wants to hang out.
Yeah. Yeah, we would hang out Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh my God. Sometimes just like with hours in between, right? Fucking drinking until like 10 a.m. I don't even know how we did that, man.
College. College. It was college. Yeah. It was fun. It was just college fun.
Like past three shots, I'm waking up trying to figure out what happened now.
Now we're just old bastards, you know. That was what, like,
oh man.
I bring that up because the type of The Loved Ones is the type of movie that I think you and I try to make. It's definitely right. And I was like, yeah, this is exactly the sort of movie we would always try to make. We always try to make like horror, try to make violent movies.
Yeah, aggressively violent.
What we're working stuff out.
What this one does that I thought was like kind of fun, not that you haven't seen this before, but the whole reversal of the trope, right? It's not like, this is a spoiler, but it's not the male who's doing this. As we actually, that's kind of we reviewed a movie. I mean, we're going to review a movie, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I meant to say, because it's going to come out way later. We didn't already record that, is what.
No, the audience loves how the sausage is made.
So we've already recorded that one. But Sean Byrne, this director's other movie, his latest movie. Yeah, it almost had the same. There's a lot of the same themes. But the bad guy again is like an older male, which is kind of like general for this type of like torture, sort of like torture porn ish type of movie.
Yeah. That was, I guess, very popular because this movie was released more or less around the same time we were doing it. Though I had never heard of this movie, so it was like, wow, what a weird, weird coincidence. And we'll get into that as we get into our thoughts and our spoilers. But John, do you have the five word plot summary?
For the loved ones, my five word synopsis is: love might get you stabbed. Oh wait, no, that's the lyrics to the song, the theme. All right, here's my joke one. Outback proves home to psychos. Because I don't know anything outside of just psychotic people who live in the Outback. Australia. Explain yourself.
Yeah. The fact that it was sent to Australia, I was like not surprised.
Well, we need to know. We need to know.
Didn't surprise me one bit.
If you guys are still listening in Australia, please explain. I mean, like, don't take it like we're insulting you. We're from fucking Texas. Trust, we know psychos. But my official five-word review for this is teen caught with killer date.
Teen caught with killer date.
Bam.
Excellent.
Should have been the tagline, but it wasn't. Sean Byrne, if you need something from me, I work for real cheap. Don't worry.
Don't worry. So what'd you think? What's your first thoughts on it?
I fucking love this movie, and that's because we just reviewed the last movie this guy did, and I didn't love that movie. It was okay, but this movie, I was like, fuck yeah, the whole time. I was like, yeah, this is great.
Yeah, same. I thought it was much better than The Devil's Candy, though. I think I'm over the sort of torture.
Oh, the torture aspect of it. Okay.
Torture.
Yeah.
I think I'm over that a little bit. I'm older. I don't know. I'm just more sensitive to those scenes, I guess. So I wouldn't actively look out this movie, but I definitely like applauded and what it tried to
accomplish. I personally really liked it. And most of that is like just the performances behind it.
Yeah.
Like our main villain, who's supposed to be like this teenage girl, she was fucking great. There's little moments where she's drinking milk or she chugs a glass of milk and then she's like torturing this guy. And the close-up scenes, you see like her little milk mustache, which you know is intentional, but it looks so fucking good. It was great. I thought every actor in this was pretty fucking
good. Yeah, she was really good.
The dad was fucking great. The kid that gets kidnapped, he's fucking great. And fuck. Okay, got that out of my system. Sorry.
She was excellent. The actress that played Princess, right?
Gosh.
She was really good. She has the hardest, most showiest part in the thing because she's kind of like the sort of killer, I guess, you know, torturer, I guess. And she has a difficult part, but I think she nails it. I believed her in this. I thought she was totally convincing. And no times did it seem unconvincing or hokey. Really excellent job from her part. And the dad as well. Yeah, I agree.
And then the kid that gets kidnapped too, like he's did a great job.
Yeah, he's basically playing the you know, what would normally be like a female. Would normally get kidnapped in these parts. You know what I mean? And I thought he you know, he definitely, I mean, it's easy to act like you're being stabbed in the foot or getting hammered or, I mean, it was really good, all around. Had that, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of vibe to it.
And I also give him props for, because he only has, like, a little bit of dialogue, and then something happens, and he cannot talk for the rest of the film. Mm-hmm. And his, like, little guttural screams every time he screams are really good. I guess because they had to, like, talk about, like, you're not going to be able to scream for real scream, I guess. It sounded almost like a pig dying, I guess.
Yeah.
What I'm getting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like a squeal, like a weird squeal and stuff like that. It's crazy. Yeah. And an aspect of the movie that I really liked was that almost immediately you're hit with a lot of, like, pop music, like music constantly, which sort of helped, like, show what each character is feeling at the moment, right? Like, the kid is, like, totally into metal, which after watching Devil's Candy, there's, like, a theme there that the director definitely likes metal and, you know, has... It seems to be, like, a favorite.
Obviously, Sean Byrne loves Metallica. Nothing against that. I'm just saying, like, obviously he loves Metallica, dude.
No, he does. Like, and each character, everybody has, like, different pieces of music, I think, that are kind of themes for each of their states, you know, and where they're at. So, which I thought was pretty cool.
Our antagonist's song, the... Princess's song when she's getting ready in her room was so good. Mm-hmm. It was so fun. It was like a slow song, female singer, like Why Doesn't He Love Me or something like that. It was I don't know. It was so special when I heard it. I was like, oh my god, she's fucking psychotic. Like, not that the song was making it seem like that, but it's like you already know this kid got kidnapped. And then you're showing her again in her room, and she's playing this song, and her room is kind of messy, like a, I don't know, like a preteen's room. I mean, I guess they're supposed to be teenagers. I keep forgetting that. But cool. Yeah, the music plays an important part in a lot of these transitions. I really liked it. So you're saying you didn't love it.
Yeah, I think it all had to do with, it's a little bit, I think a little bit predictable on certain aspects of it. Once I was really not aware what, I saw some of the trailers. So.
Once you realize that it was purely Australian, you're like, obviously this is going to happen. They're in the whoop whoop, right? The Outback. No, I don't know. I'm just kidding. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's just like, I just felt like it was predictable in that, like, once he gets captured, once he gets tortured, and how the plot kind of unfolded, I kind of knew where it was going. And like I said, I'm not, like, crazy about, like, violent movies and stuff like that anymore. So that sort of mixed me a little bit, bit about it, you know. But that was the majority of it. But, like, we can get in, like, as we get into spoilers, we can get into, like, the different things that are happened, like some of the torture aspects of what they actually do to the main character. Was his name Brett?
Yes, Brett.
So we can get into those elements. I mean, those are really interesting and well executed. You know what I mean?
Oh, Brent.
Brent. Yeah. Did you have any more first thoughts?
No. I think we should just get into it. Because I did rather enjoy this film.
Okay, cool. Let's go into spoilers.
Yeah, so what a interesting intro, which, I mean, this is one of those moments where I'm like, obviously this plays into it later. Like, I had no doubt. It was like a little too played out.
Yeah.
Not played out. That's the wrong choice of words. So you see Brent and his father, right? Or he's driving the car. Brent's driving the car. And out in the middle of the road, this, like, bloody guy pops up out of nowhere. So Brent tries to swerve out of the way, and crashes the car, and it jumps into the future, and you find out...
6 months. Yeah.
Yeah, his dad died in that car accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's affect their family life. Like, the mother doesn't... You know, she's kind of just, like, numb, and she's... doesn't even allow Brett to ride in cars
anymore.
That
part was confusing because there was that whole argument where she said, I'll give you money for a cab. And he's like, I'm still going to be in a car.
Yeah.
She doesn't trust young people to drive.
I don't know.
Classic ageism.
Rightfully so. Yeah. But yeah, was it... Brett, we meet Brett's friend, which I thought was actually, he was really funny, but unessential to the plot. The movie.
I think his name is Jamie. Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, and you get introduced to like, so Brent is like at his locker, and his buddy Jamie's trying to use the locker too, right? Or something like that. And then Jamie sees this girl next to him. I guess they're talking about the end of the year dance. And Jamie sees the girl he wants to ask to the dance right next to him, who's like, her name is Mia in the movie. Is Jessica McNamee, right? She
Nailed
was also
it.
In like Battle of the Sexes, yeah. And she was in Chips. Okay. I remember in these things. and the only this isn't fair or nice, but the only reason I remember is because like she's like very attractive, maybe a little too attractive to be playing a teenager and a little too attractive for this Jamie character, but yeah, and she says yes. I guess this is off camera, so this guy's stoked. And then right after that happens, the princess character goes up to Brent and asks him to the end of the year dance. I keep wanting to say the prom, but that's not the right end of the year dance. And he says like, oh,
right, yeah.
Well, no, I'm sorry. I'm going with Holly, who like obviously is his girlfriend. Right. And she seems a little.
Right.
Upset
yeah.
about this.
Well, we don't have any context. It's just like, we can just gather from what she's dressed in that she's like some
that and also the poster.
Teen. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And probably gives it away a bit just because the poster is just her with a screw gun. so what he leaves, he meets up with Holly, keeps teasing her about how he got asked to the prom, or not the prom, fucking, I'm just going to keep saying that, end of the year dance, and they end up having sex, and then Princess is outside of the car staring at them have sex. So, I think that's where your context really comes into play. It's like, okay, obviously she's like off her rocker, this is weird.
So how different would the movie have been had he said yes? Do you think she still would have went and did all the same things?
Yeah, I guess so. According to what happened to the other people, right?
Right, yeah. That there were a number of other boys, a ton of boys actually,
yeah,
right?
And then there's a weird...
five that she showed in that book.
Is Oedipus complex appropriate for like a father-daughter thing too? I guess so, right?
Oh yeah, they were totally in a relationship with each other. A very, you know, incestuous relationship.
Because that happens later where she tells the dad, but the father keeps playing everything off like he's embarrassed or he's like ashamed, but he's doing everything for his little girl. And then she says something like, it's you, Daddy. You're the one. You're my prince, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, my God. And they're about to kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that moment just because I don't know if it's the actor like fucking acting his ass off. Or I'm assuming that's what it is. But the actor did really play it off like, oh, this is not good. This is wrong. And she's like, keeps going, itching in. He's like, no. Oh, like when she's putting on the dress, no, and then there's like a close up of her butt or whatever, and it's supposed to be like what he's looking at, but he keeps doing like he's looking, and he's like,
Yeah, what is the dynamic of the relationship? We're saying it's incestuous, I think, is what I fell on, but I mean,
that's what I thought, but I'm guessing that the daughter is the one that's really pressuring all this.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, that's what it seems like. He seems like,
because I know we're jumping around, but then the mom is also like, her brain is also stew because of what they do to like lobotomize them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, like, cool idea, Sean Byrne, but unless you have some sort of research I'm unaware of, that doesn't work. I'm pretty sure you just kill them.
Yeah, that was sort of, she goes on like a prom with them or whatever, right? Or like a final dance with them, and then she tortures them, and then she like tries to lobotomize them, right? That's the final thing. And then they throw them in a dungeon so she can keep them. Right? That's kind of the gist.
A dungeon that's like right in the middle of the living room, right?
Yeah.
Like the layout of this house doesn't look very big at all.
No, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool. I guess like the main protagonist, Brent, is very tortured, right? He carries around this necklace with a razor blade, which, you know, the close-ups, like, obviously this razor blade is not fucking real, but, like, but it's supposed to be real, and he keeps using it to hurt himself, right? He's, like, a cutter because of, like, he's not super happy with his life right now.
Yeah, his dad died and everything. So
and then they establish the whole, he, like, goes off on his own to rock climb this one rock face, and like he like cuts his hands open first to feel the pain, I guess, which I thought was going to come into later, like play later, but not necessarily. He just like finally makes it up to the top, smokes some like either really awful weed or like just herbal fucking tobacco. And then he gets kidnapped. He has his dog with him. Oh, that was my favorite part of the movie. I chalked it up to like this kid Brent keeps torturing himself by climbing this rock face, but the dog at this point already knows like, oh, I'll just run up here and meet him at the top.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Like, oh, okay.
And so yeah, he's basically like tied up, and he's like a guest for there, I guess. I don't know. What would you call it? It's not a prom. It's like a...
That's why it kept saying like the end of the year dance, I think, on the banner in the back that the dad made.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So they're like meeting the parents, and then they're eating, and then they do dance, right? At some point. And then she like cuts up.
I think before that, they immediately inject whatever into his neck so he can't talk anymore.
Oh yeah, they put some like a big syringe in his neck so then he can't scream or talk.
And then I think this is the first instance where you realize this isn't the first time they've done this, because she injects him in the neck, and then they both, like, her and her father collectively say nobody can hear you scream or something like that, right?
Mhm. Yeah.
And then you see the mom, and the mom has like a hole in her forehead. And she's not saying anything.
She's like catatonic. She's like stared off into space, basically.
Yeah, basically. And they keep trying to feed everybody food, and it looks like the mom is resistant, right?
Yeah.
This like chicken from a place called like Good Food is what the boxes said.
It's a charcoal chicken, and they had a salad bar.
Yeah. So like, yeah.
So.
And then the conversation turns into Princess asks Brent, hey, do you need to go to the bathroom? And he's like nodding yes. And she goes, number one or number two? And then he kind of says number one. So they don't show this part, but she pulls his penis out. Oh, she chugs a glass of milk that was on the table. which I was like, oh, gross, but okay. So she chugs the...
Gross, that's the real horror. Yeah, yeah.
And then puts the, like, pulls his penis out and puts, I guess, like, the cup underneath so he can piss. And he's not doing it because, like, for obvious reasons, right? And then she tells the dad, go get a nail. He already had a hammer in his hand, so he grabs a nail. And she said, if you don't go right now, my daddy's going to, like, pin or nail your penis to the chair. So at like the final second he starts pissing and he pisses all the way, and then this is when I was like, dude, this fucking chick is killing it, because she was like, oh man, you're finished, maybe I need to give it a little kiss, and it looks like she's about to go down, and then the dad gets apprehensive, right? And then she like stops,
yeah,
and then just keeps torturing him, and I was like, Jesus, like this fucking, this movie's getting wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it does escalate. It escalates a lot from each. And that's sort of the scary thing is these people are clearly like unhinged. So we don't know. They could do anything. Yeah. Right. So.
Yeah, that's why it was like, it was satisfying when the dad died. Right.
Yeah.
But not Princess. Yeah. Princess does not die.
Yet. Yet. No, but they throw the gamut of torture things, don't they? I mean, like, he escapes at one point, and to hold him down,
they throw rocks. They throw rocks at a tree, and he sucks at, like, just, like, hiding behind the big-ass tree branch right there, right? So he gets hit by the rocks and falls forward onto the car.
Yeah.
Which I was like, that's not a dummy. How the fuck did they pull that off? Poor dude. Yeah, and then they, like, what, tie him up again, but this time they nail kitchen knives into his feet, into the floor.
Yeah. That was awful. I didn't.
And then she does that whole, like, oh, it's time for me to draw. And she carves something into his chest, right? A heart? Or, no, I don't remember.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Because, like, I think the more important part is, she decides to grab a big can of salt and throw it on his chest. I was like, Jesus, fuck, dude. Like, what is this? Yeah. There's a couple of moments where I turned away like, oh, no.
Yeah, that was a moment for me. I was like, oh, God, I don't want to look at that. Jesus, yeah. And I don't know what's... And in the meantime, like, his girlfriend's just trying to, like, figure out where he is, right? And
yeah, like... Holly and Brent's mother are very concerned. And then the only cop in the movie...
And of Australia. So
yeah, yeah. Because they only have, like, one cop that, like, you know, it's the Outback, right?
It's the Outback.
I don't know. This probably doesn't even take place in the Outback. I'm just assuming. he happens to be the father of Brent's best friend Jamie's date.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that weird, like, you just chalk it up to her being, like, very angsty and gothic.
Yeah, I didn't understand why. I was waiting for more to happen there. I mean, we at the end, they kind of reveal why she is the way she is, but I felt like everything leading up to it kind of didn't, like, it wasn't making sense, and I didn't understand why we were cutting from this and the torture stuff. So it just seemed like extra expanding the length of the movie kind of material is what I thought at first.
Cause I figured maybe there was stuff that was cut out, right? Like maybe cause the dad did seem the parents in general seemed very closed off to the daughter, and the daughter was very closed off to the parents. But there wasn't any sort of arguments about it, like, which I kept expecting to happen, but they just kind of let it happen.
Right, right, yeah.
And then when you find out later that, I might as well say, right? The person at the very beginning of the movie that Brent avoids hitting in the middle of the street is one of the victims of Princess and happens to be the brother, I guess?
Was it brother?
I thought it was the brother because they had a bunch of family photos, but I don't know if they were just...
I thought it was the boyfriend
and girlfriend.
I didn't even... I thought I didn't even consider the brother sister. I thought they were dating.
That's what I thought. Well, yeah, I was figuring that, but it looked like there was a bunch of family photos.
Because when she gets home after like after they go through the dance with her friend, like she says, "Why can't you find him? Why can't you find him?" You know what I mean? Something like that. So I just assumed they, because they look more or less the same age. So I just assumed they were dating.
Yeah, that's true too. I don't know.
That's why I thought that they were happy that she actually was going out and going to a dance. I don't know. I mean, the whole brother sister thing I didn't actually consider while watching it.
Yeah. But I like how the dad is like, okay, let me go figure this out. And he very quickly, unceremoniously gets killed.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And there's like a lot of moments where like, oh, okay, cool. This is why they killed him off. Cause he had a gun. He had like a revolver or something. And at, by this point, Brent has been pushed after killing the dad, which I thought was, that part was pretty cool. Like he stabs the dad a bunch of times. Like he's pissed off, right? Obviously he's pissed off. Cause he's thinking about when he accidentally killed his father and like different moments of his life. And it's just like building up and like, he's reaching a boiling point, even though he's getting tortured. Which by the way, they kept letting him keep the fucking razor blade necklace. So that's their bad that he escaped like twice.
Yeah.
And they had already established by opening up that dungeon from the floor that all a bunch of the previous victims that they had, that they killing holes into the forehead and pouring boiling water into that hole to like make their brain mush, which they did to the mom, right? Which they also almost fully did to this kid, or they did do it, right?
They definitely drilled a hole in his head.
But he stays like
so
aware. He's like still self-aware.
They don't boil, because I think they only drill it up to a certain point into the skull, into the front of the skull, and then they just to open it. So when they pour the hot water, that like I think boils their brains or whatever, like she said.
Oh, you know what? That's the moment when he escapes the second time, because I think he is.
Yeah,
he's drilling the hole bigger, and he's got the razor blade, and he breaks free. And slashes his face with the razor blade, so the dad's face is like completely slashed in half.
Yeah. What was I gonna say? So there was a thing that the girl mentioned that I think the dad always killed or did stuff like this.
Oh.
And then when he had a daughter, she kind of went along with it. Because they mentioned something like, oh, my daddy knows how to do the lobotomizing. So it, and the way he behaved when he kidnapped the kid and like all the, you know, all the equipment and tools he had, he seemed like he did it. He had done it many times before. You know what I mean? That's kind of the impression I got, because she technically never really killed anybody. She tortured a lot of people, but she never like killed anybody besides the cop, the dad cop you mentioned. And
because, they kept treating this like it was her first time, right?
Yeah, exactly. That was stuff, like she was about to pour the, she was about to pour the water. She says like, "Oh, daddy, can you make the hole bigger?" Because she didn't feel like it was like the water was gonna, you know, go into his skull. So the dad tries it again, and then like he like breaks free or whatever, and then he ends up down. So what do you? So the other thing that I wanted to ask was, did he kill the other boyfriends or whatever, the other loved ones in the thing, in the? Cellar?
Brent? Yeah, Brent definitely did. Yeah, there was like a short cutaway where he's like hitting him with the hammer, and then he's like covering their dead bodies with like cloth. So I'm guessing and then the boyfriend slash brother of the other girl that we're talking about was the only one that escaped, but they were pretty confident that that kid was already dead. Remember that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like the other loved ones. So you saw the bones. So I'm guessing like the three or four previous loved ones that got tortured, and they were all played by like these really, really thin fucking like dudes with long hair. I'm guessing they ate the other people that kept falling in. Because as soon as
Yeah. Yeah. Or whatever they gave them.
Right. I think they picked up some sort of like roadkill marsupial.
They gave them possum,
right? Sorry, Australian. I don't know what animal that was. Because right when he like slashes the father's face and the father's about to like come after him, he pulls the knives out of his feet and stabs the shit out of his neck and pushes him into that dungeon area, and they all flock and immediately start eating him. Which I was like, yeah, that's pretty
cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool. That was a good death.
Yeah, like very good death. But also setting up like, oh, dude, fucking turn around. Just because you punched the shit out of this woman doesn't mean like, you know, like.
The other person she killed was her mother.
The mom and the cop. Now. Right.
She suffocates the mother.
Oh, that's right.
The mom and the cop, yeah.
Who I thought would have had a bigger role too, but she wasn't very important like to the film either.
Well, was she the mom? Because they just called her Bright Eyes. Too.
Yeah.
Like, what's...
If...
I feel like... There's a lot of unsaid relationship stuff there. Like, was she the true mom? Was she,
you know, because it didn't seem like she was the real mom, right?
Mm.
I don't... But again,
I didn't. Yeah, it's a lot of it was up for interpretation. Certain aspects of it.
But yeah, pretty cool. So what ultimately ends up happening is kind of all by chance, really, that it wraps up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Princess is, like, has completely snapped at this point, if you didn't think she was already crazy. Which, again, cool that all the previous loved ones are all just, like, boys that she's picked up, right? And they all seem to be roughly the same age, so I'm mm-hmm. assuming she's been doing this with the same age people. But then she also does open up the yearbook and points out, like, the different people. So I'm guessing, again, Australia, please explain how come nobody cares that these kids go missing.
I kind of got the sense, after she did that, I kind of got the sense that she was, like, terrorizing this
town. That's what I figured. I don't know.
She's like, there's... All these parents, like really upset, sad parents that were missing their sons. Right.
So she tells Brent, who very quickly picks up the revolver that the cop has and proceeds to just shoot a light out. I don't know. He's tired and hurt. I didn't understand that part.
Or could walk. Which
no, but he can climb out of the thing, though, right? she closes the dungeon door, but before she says that, she's explaining to him, I'm going to go over to your mom's house and stab her in the neck like you did to my dad or something like that, right? And then I'm going to go over and stab Holly in the heart like you did to me. And then she closes the thing. And then I love how... She's so crazy that she's not even going to drive, or she can't drive maybe, and she just walks.
Yeah, I didn't get the logic on that one.
Like I don't know how she's so, going to walk. I mean, they set it up to make it seem like they live very far away from everybody else.
Yeah, they're like the out-of-town people, the hillbillies.
And then, she's like walking in the street, and lo and behold... Holly has this like epiphany where she's like, remembers Brent saying the princess character, which I guess she had a name and I can't remember what it is because they say it like 3 times. But only at the beginning. or maybe I'm wrong. No, but Lola.
Oh, they did. Lola. Lola.
And that's what it was. She's like, oh, well, let me go to Lola's house. So she's driving. And, of course, like, runs into Princess. But Princess threw her, like,
mm-hmm.
what is it, like a burn book or, like, a memory book?
Oh, the loved one book. Yeah, the loved one book, that shit. Wait. So, Holly, I think you meant Holly. Lola is Princess's name. I think I gave you the wrong name.
Please keep up, ladies and gentlemen. It is not my job Please, to remember yeah, this yeah. stuff.
There's a yeah. there's a test after this.
I plant
so seeds
of doubt,
all this.
And you will fail if you believe me. No, so Holly's driving, and then she throws the book. Lola throws the book at the windshield, so Holly stops, right, like she would. And this is one of the few moments in a movie that I watch like this where I'm like, oh, man, like, what would you do? I would fucking stop, too. I'd be like, what the fuck was that? You know, and then Princess, like, dives into the car and tries to, like, stab her. And while all this is happening,
mm-hmm.
Brent has figured out, because there's a bunch of bones in a corner, to throw a bunch of dead bodies on top of that and climb out. Because Princess and Dad weren't smart enough to put a lock on the fucking thing, I guess. And then he's driving at, like, 140 kilometers per hour, which I can only imagine is a billion miles per hour, because I don't do the metric system. I live in America.
So this is the one scene that I just, like, got, like, okay, so he's been stabbed in the foot, both feet, and he's driving a vehicle. I mean, I just stubbed my toe on furniture, and I'm, like, out for 2 days. So I don't know how this guy was able to get in the car and start driving or walk or do anything remotely.
Because his whole life is pain.
At all, moving.
I don't know. Yeah, there was a lot of... But I like how he drives super fast, and then he almost runs into Holly, because in Australia... Please explain, Australians. In Australia, just so they don't get lost, people only run away from each other on the street in the middle of nowhere. Like, there's no... You do not want to run towards the outback, because you will get lost, is what I'm gathering. So they're both running in the middle of the fucking street, and Holly almost gets run over by Brent. So Brent does that swerve like he did at the beginning of the movie, and without seeing, runs straight into fucking Lola. You remember? And then, like, Holly runs into the car, gets in, like, please go, and looks at Brent and is like, oh, shit. Like, it's Brent. Oh, no. And they, like, kiss and obviously not talk, because I'm guessing Brent can never talk again. I don't know. But I did like this part where they cut back to Lola and she, like, gets up and she's, like, still grabbing the knife. Like, one of her, like, hands is, like, completely down because, like, her bones are sticking right out of her wrist. Right? She can't walk and she's, like crawling towards them. And somehow they both hear her.
She's, like...
yeah. She's stabbing the ground and dragging herself. I was, like, for sure she's going to get run over because I don't know where else this one could go. And she... Yeah, and of course she gets run over. She
Where else could this go?
By the back of the car.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it, right? There's no real...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's kind of it.
Because I was waiting to see, like, how's the fact to, like, the cop dad being dead? Like, what happens to Jamie now that he's become a man because he got laid, you know? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Where are they getting all this weed from?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of questions.
No, yeah. But yeah, that was kind of it. It's kind of just there, right?
I mean, it just happens.
Credits.
I guess plenty of movies kind of end like this. Even like No Country for Old Men kind of ends like that too, right?
Just so, like, something happens and then just, like, smash cut and then we're out or whatever kind of deal.
Yeah, it's like, there you go. You got this moment of this, like, period of time for these people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind endings like that. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. So then you dug it then. How many sexy spooky bones you want to give this guy?
Oh. I'm going to give this one 6 sexy spooky bones.
Okay. I'll do 5 sexy spooky bones. I liked it. It's just not the sort of movie that I would actively look for normally.
Collectively, that's still 11 spooky bones.
We love our Aussie movies. We should just only review Aussie movies.
Yeah, I don't know. How do you guys feel about that? Let us know at Boys Skeleton on Twitter. Wait, did I mention the song thing already? I did, right?
You should mention it again.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, we have not been drinking, if that's what you're... It's our Saturday, okay? So guys, we want to see who's really listening, who, if you want to interact with us. As you might know already, I was going to say most of the music on this, but I guess all of it, right?
Yeah, I'm not doing any of it.
Okay. Yeah. No, I was wondering if we like use it. No, I guess all the music. If you got, I don't know, give me like a horror genre, give me like a murder weapon, maybe give me like your favorite horror movie killer or some sort of idea. We just need three things and I'll write a short song on the next episode, depending if your idea is good enough, and we'll dedicate it to you. So just let us know.
Yeah, maybe they can even I'll throw it up there on the Twitter as a tweet or something too. See if we get any.
Oh yeah, so go check that out at Boys Skeleton.
Yeah, that sounds good.
On Twitter. Hell yeah.
Oh yeah. All right. Thank you guys for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
All right. Keep it spooky, guys.